Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hey, it's Jackie Cash and welcome to the Dork Forest. Intros are hard. I have a new album. You should be listening to it. I have a new hour. You could be watching it on YouTube, but I appreciate you listening to this, The Dork Forest. You could go to JackieCasia.com or TheDorkForest.com, and you can listen to it there. You can listen to it on wherever you're listening to it right now. You can watch it on YouTube separately, and that is where Altercation is also streaming. The album is available wherever you listen to any kind of album, and it's also on Bandcamp, which has a bunch of other, some very old Dork Forest that are free on that channel. Otherwise, you should know that the Dork Forest is, I don't have a Patreon, so feel free to donate. If you have $100 a year, I would love $100 a year from everybody. You can hand me a sweaty wad of 20s when you come and see me do stand-up, or you can email me or Venmo me. The email would be PayPal, Jackie@JackieCation.com, where you can also email me. And Venmo is just @JackieCation, which is like my Instagram and my TikTok and all the things. And there's merch. There's Dork Forest merch. There's Made of Bees merch. And I don't know. There's so much stuff. I can't remember everything. You're doing vital work by listening to the Dork Short Forest, and I'm glad you are. And I hope you want to hear about somebody's dorkdom, because that's what's going to happen right now. Rangers of the Dork Forest know that for some reason I can't buy an XLR cable that continues to work in life. So I am shouting into the internet. My guest also shouting into the internet, but that's because he doesn't do this. This isn't his job. Anyway, you know what his job is. It's comic books and graphic novels, and he writes screenplays, and he'll write whatever you want. But you guys, it's Josh Isurek. Isurek? Did I do that right?
Isurek. Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah. Isurek. Good for me. Josh, it is, I believe, Jay Isurek on Instagram. There's a Josh Isurek, .com. These will all be in the notes. And know in your hearts, Rangers, that Isurek is spelled E-I-S-E-R-I-K-E. And you got stuff on Webtoons. You got The Pale Settlement. Is that out or what is?
Yeah. So the first chapter is on Webtoon and Tapas. It's a graphic novel. Think like Stranger Things YA fantasy adventure set in the world of Fiddler on the Roof, but without the songs. I'm told there will also be a tabletop game tie-in in the not too distant future.
By one Andy Andy Ashcraft, who here's if you want there to be a tabletop game, can I recommend as his loved one that you say, it's done. Give it to me. No more. No more. You made put out an extension. Tell him you can tell him he can do an expansion, but you get it into your hot little hands and say it's done for now. So anyway, but I played also, The Pale of Settlement, but I can't wait to read it honestly because
it's really cool. It's super fun. I'm very proud of it. I'll also plug my previous graphic novel, The Very Final Last Girls, Darby Pop Publishing. You can find it through my website. It's about the mostly girls who survive horror films and what happens next.
Which I didn't know that term because I refuse to do horror because congratulations, horror writers. You've scared me before I get in. But I did an episode about the final girls, a Dork Forest about final girls. And that's when I learned that there's usually one person who lives in a horror film and it's usually some attractive young woman. So good for her.
Yep.
So she can hopefully go through some therapy. And
the book is about that therapy.
Oh,
literally. My wife is a therapist. Yes.
Oh, that is awesome. Okay. So here's the thing about Josh Isurek's dorkdom. It is a band, you guys. And I think it's a guy. And he was a judge on a singing. That's the only reason I've ever, I don't know, does he have hit? It's Ben Folds. Ben Folds, right? You're wearing the Ben Folds 5 t-shirt.
I am.
So that's good.
That was intentional.
Okay, that right, because that's the topic. Who? Yes. What, when did he start? What's his jam?
Okay.
Who is he?
So for folks who have never heard of Ben Folds, he's one of these musicians you've probably heard of, but you don't know his name. You've probably heard what I call some of the folks in the Ben Folds cinematic universe. That is not a real term. But he is mostly known as a piano. He's mostly known as a piano player. He does a lot of music advocacy, education. And until very recently, he was the artistic director at the National Symphony Orchestra at the Kennedy Center. And he recently testified before Congress about his decision to not do that anymore.
Right. Good call.
Yeah.
Andy said that that Ben Folds is, if he were on the show, he would be a music nerd.
Yes.
If he were on the Dork Forest, he's a dork about music.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, very much so. And for the listeners, Jack and I were chatting before the show, I am not a musician. I am a jazz band dropout. So I may not know the I play trumpet very poorly.
Same.
Yeah. Could not ever hit those high C's. But I did work as a music journalist in my previous career. And Ben Folds is my all-time favorite musician. I am on the hook for anything he puts out, I will purchase.
Okay. And has he put out a lot?
By some music, but by like Willie Nelson standards, no. But, okay. You know, he...
Wait, there seems to be a dozen albums.
Yes, there's probably a dozen or so albums plus EPs, singles, one-offs. He's got at least two, maybe like four live albums at this point, maybe five. I have all of them. I've lost track. Most recently, he put out a Christmas album last year.
That's where the cash is. That's a cash cow, the Christmas album.
Yeah.
Make it happen, Ben. Yeah. Pay off the house. Okay.
Yeah. And he's currently putting up a off-Broadway show that I saw an early version of as his opening act, a musician named Lindsey Craft.
Okay.
That he co-wrote. I think he co-wrote some of the music and he performs on at least one of the songs.
Okay. And what's the... Now, this is a digress. Welcome to the Dork Forest where I weed off. What is the theme of the off-Broadway show? Do you know? Are you looking that up?
It's Well, at least from – so it was real cool. Like when I saw him maybe about a year or two ago in L.A., his opening act, I had never heard of her before. And I was actually, I think, a year ahead of her at the University of Maryland. I didn't know her. But I believe we actually have mutual friends. There's this woman, Lindsey Craft. And she didn't so much just sing songs, but it was a show with like audience interaction about during COVID, how she was just in a really bad relationship and then the decision to get out of that relationship. It's called We've Been Here Before, and it plays in New York August 4th through 17th. So I guess it maybe just ended.
Oh, right. It just ended. We've Been Here Before.
Yeah, it just ended.
And it's sort of like a one person show with extraordinary music is what the
I thought so.
Like. Yeah.
I thought okay. so. Although
you,
I don't know if you can call it one person, because at least in the version, the workshop I saw, Ben Folds like performs on one of the songs.
Yeah. That's amazing. That's So when did he start? When did you get into him? Yeah.
So I'll give you a little background. One of my beliefs when I was writing about music is the best music anyone ever hears in their life is what they hear when they're 16 years old.
okay.
I think there's something about that age and just how the emotion and everything just hits you in a way that it's not going to hit you when you're in your 30s, your 40s, et cetera. It was 1997. I was 16 years old and I was really into a band called The Counting Crows, sure. That are still around. They're slightly more popular than Ben Folds. They just played two nights at the Hollywood Bowl. And they had a song on their second record called Monkey. And in this song, there's a lyric, got nowhere but home to go, got Ben Folds on my radio right now. And that was essentially an endorsement from an existing artist plugging an up and coming. Now, I had never heard Ben Folds' music. I'd maybe read a little review of Ben Folds 5's self-titled first release. And to be clear, Ben Folds 5 is a band. Ben Folds is the musician. It's also even more confusing because there's only three guys in Ben Folds 5, not five.
Hilarious. Anyway, okay.
but yeah, so I read this write-up in Rolling Stone that described their music as it's just a piano, drum, and bass. That's it. And I think they even used Ben Folds' quote, which he described it as punk rock for sissies. That sounded just so intriguing to me. And at the time, like my music tastes were, I still continue to love, They Might Be Giants, one of my other favorite bands. And I know mm-hmm. you've done a Dork Forest on them, in the past, and Smashing Pumpkins. But then a lot of the other music I was listening to, I was only listening to because like the cool kids liked it. Like, I don't know how much I actually liked Soundgarden and Nine Inch Nails at that time, probably maybe just what I heard on the radio.
Right.
So I did something I never did before. I was at Best Buy and I spent my hard-earned allowance money, which I guess I didn't really earn, on Ben Folds 5's second record, which is the one people might know because it's got the biggest hit, which was called Brick. And we can talk about that as well. So also just to give some context, like 1997 was a weird, weird time for music, at least on the rock side. It was after grunge and before all the boy band stuff hit. So this is when like Squirrel Nut Zippers were and Cherry Pop and Daddies with like the whole swing revival. This is like Soul Coughing, another band I love, like this drum and bass weirdness. Rock music didn't really have like a strong identity then. Like I guess like Creed was really big. I was never
there was a weird gap in 97.
Yeah.
It was like was that pre Napster or was that the heyday of Napster? Or was it right before Napster? It was right before Napster.
It was right before. Yeah. Right before.
Okay.
So I buy this album. And this is 97. The radio single Brick doesn't even, I don't think it comes out until either late 97 or even early 98. So like the album kind of like, it was almost like, I mean, it's not a secret if you're being written about in Rolling Stone and the Counting Crows are singing about you, but this is before Spotify or anything like that. I had no way of hearing it. So I just bought the album completely cold, just like, this is something I might like. And I remember going
Welcome
home.
To the 1970s, by the way.
Right.
Because because you were like, well, I heard one song I liked sort of them.
Yeah.
And also, just to digress, is that in 1989, I bought mm-hmm. a hip hop album from KRS-One, I only bought hip hop artists that he mentioned.
Right.
Eric B. and Rakim. Big Daddy Kane, Public Enemy, like I just, so whatever he mentioned and then whatever they mentioned, rabbit hole. Yeah, that was the rabbit hole of hip hop that I did for 3.5 years. And then I weeded off and stopped caring about whatever. And then 10 years went by and I bought a Common album. Anyway, that if Counting Crows is mentioning you. Yeah.
Yes. And so I put it in my stereo. I probably listened to about 5 measures of the opening track, a song called One Angry Dwarf, which starts with this like very, very aggressive piano riff. And I should also mention that as a 16-year-old at the time, any music that existed before me didn't count. So there was no Elton John. There was no Billy Joel.
No Beatles?
It was the coolest thing. Absolutely not. By the way, like Ben Folds owes a lot to all of those artists. But I listened to about 5 measures and there was no vocals, nothing. And then my dad yells at me to mow the lawn. And I just have this strong memory of, you know, it takes me about an hour to mow this giant suburban lawn. of mowing the lawn and just wanting to get back to my stereo, knowing that, you know, just from five measures, that this CD that I just purchased was going to be my new favorite thing for a long time. And my musical taste had forever changed.
That's amazing.
But yeah. And then, so the album became, as I was saying, like, and then I went back and I got the first record, self-titled Ben Folds 5, which is equally great. If not, I was listening to it this morning, maybe even a little bit better. And that's all. And, you know, like I had my friends and we would like listen to it and talk about this, but it wasn't on the radio. The songs that had been released as singles, like, didn't really do anything. And then I went abroad for a couple months and I came back in, I guess, January of 98. And the third track on Whatever Never Amen, the second album, the song called Brick, was all over the airwaves. Now, Brick is a totally fine song. It's a ballad about how when he was in high school, he drove his girlfriend to get an abortion the day after Christmas. Like, very, like, serious, heavy song. It's a beautiful song. But if I were the A&R guy or whatever, this is not what I would have picked as a single. And certainly, like, you know, for the year that, like, my friends and I were like, this was our little secret, was not what I would have been like, oh, this is what they're going to play on Saturday Night Live with Sam Jackson introducing them. It was very strange.
But that was the song they played on Saturday Night Live?
That was the song, yeah. And because that was – and it was a – I don't know the – I mean, I can look up the exact chart number, but it was – I think to this day remains not his most famous song, but his highest charting song. And again, it's a totally fine song, but for a while he didn't even play it in concert because it was like – It's not the extent of like another band I love. I don't know if you know Fountains of Wayne.
Yeah, I actually own an album. I own two albums of Fountains of Wayne. See, my thing is I usually buy like one album, and then he did the music for one of my favorite shitty TV show movies.
Yes, he did.
That I love with the power of the sun. The music and lyrics.
Music and lyrics, yeah, and Josie and the Pussycats. I mean, I could do a whole Dork Diaries about Fountains of Wayne, but suffice it to say that their biggest hit, Stacy's Mom, which is a totally fun, silly song, is not indicative of the rest of their. No.
Yeah. Oh, is that their biggest hit, Stacy's Mom? Probably.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't say that was my favorite song of theirs at all. Anyway.
No. Okay. But back to Brick. It was this weird kind of like, it was like, this is the single? What? I mean, there's so much. And again, it's a good song, but there's so much great. And by the way, it's not even the best ballad on that album.
There's this one song. Yeah.
Well, there's this beautiful, beautiful breakup song. It's the last track called Evaporated. Like the chorus is like, I poured my heart out. It evaporated. See, like, it's like a heartbreaking song. Is that going to play on the radio? No, but is it better than Brick? Yes.
But why not? If you're going to play on the radio, hey, I took my girlfriend to get an abortion. Why wouldn't you play, hey, my heart got evaporated?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Then there's this other track.
By the way, there's no bigger glimpse into you as a 16-year-old in the fact that you're like, this guy talked to me, man. He got me hurt. It's like, I'm 16. I'm full of emotions. And I've known so many 16-year-old young men because I have 14 nieces and nephews. And there's nothing more silent and what appears from the outside as sullen than a 16-year-old young man. And all of this is going on inside, man.
Yeah.
Inside, it's all happening. The universe is expanding and he's finding out about emotions. Anyway.
Yeah. So. Well, I would also say part of it too is when I was like a little kid, my mom would play a lot of show tunes in the car.
Okay.
And I really enjoyed it. And like, I never, again, because music, like popular music before me just didn't count. So like, I never made the connection that like, oh, like from Broadway to Billy Joel, Elton John to Ben Folds, like, is not a huge step, but it was like, here's this music that I was discovering. I'm using air quotes there. Ben Folds, that was, in the spirit of something a little more theatrical. Now, I guess like Queen was okay just because of Wayne's World. And like,
The music Bohemian a lot of,
Yeah. Like in the early 90s, like Bohemian Rhapsody was like, at least when I was in middle school, was like the biggest thing ever. Never mind, it was a song from like, you know, 20 years earlier or whatever.
Right.
but like, yeah, Ben Folds, like, especially with the piano, like there was a, not so much. I mean, the performances, at least when I saw him in those early years, and I've seen him, gosh, at this point, at least 24 times in 7 states and in DC, like, it's excessive. But like in those early shows, like he would bang his stool on the piano. He would like play with like his feet. He would jump up and down. He would crawl on the rafters. Like it was very, again, punk rock for sissies, but like musically. And again, my background is more as a music journalist, not as a, you know, a trained musician, but it was very theatrical, like, cause it was piano driven. And like the sound was, it's still unlike most anything I've ever heard, at least the classic Ben Folds 5 sound, which, you know, the leading instrument is the piano. And then, you know, you have the drums backing it, but then the bass on most of the songs, especially the more upbeat ones, it's kind of like fuzzed out and distorted. I think there's an Elton John live album where he does something like that Ben has talked about. But other than that, like it was a pretty unique and specific sound that really worked. And he's not, and I really like his voice, but admittedly he's got these one of like, I can't really sing, but I'm going to sing anyway kind of voices, that I think kind of just makes it more understated and emotionally raw that, you know, in my 40s, I now have the perspective to look back on the music and understand it and appreciate it differently. But, you know, as a kid, I was like, oh, this is a song about how this guy's ex-girlfriend won't give him back his money. Like that I understand.
Right. You know, usually for a musical episode, I ask people to make like an 8-song list and put it on either Spotify or Amazon or Apple. And then I will listen to 8 songs. But no more than 8. And I always tell the story because my buddy Murray was on the show. His dorkdom was U2. He gave me a USB stick with 111 songs on it. And I said, hey, man, you just gave me a free USB stick because I'm not listening to these songs because there's too many. So 8 songs, if you would be willing to make an 8 song. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I would start with a track on the original self-titled album called Philosophy, which is kind of his mission statement as an artist. Like if you vibe with Philosophy, you'll like whatever's going to come next to varying degrees. He quotes, there's an awesome piano solo toward the end of that, where he quotes Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue. And it just rocks.
That's awesome.
Yeah. If you don't vibe with that song, then, you know, not necessarily for you, but like, you know, for people listening and for you who are just like, okay, this guy's, you know, clearly got a problem. I would describe his music as sort of like the emotional songwriting of Elton John, plus the storytelling and character observations of Billy Joel, but with like a Gen X sense of irony, bless you, a sense of irony and sense of humor.
Okay. All right.
I would also say, as Ben Folds 5 broke up in 99, he went solo. Ben Folds 5 have gotten back together. I think now they just announced they're getting back together for, I believe, will be the third time. They did a one-off show in 2008. Then they did a fourth record later. Now they're getting back again. But, you know, certainly the music has matured. He's approaching 60 now. It's no longer this raucous, like, punk rock for sissies. But I still think Philosophy stands as like, this is his mission statement.
Okay. And so what is like, do you remember any of the lines from that song? Like that kind of,
Once you look up at the skyline, the mortar brick and glass. So I can pull up the lyrics 'cause,
Right.
Because so I also don't want to start singing.
Like, right.
Because well, then I think people YouTube will turn. Won't you look up at this? Yeah. I see that there is evil and I know that there is good and the in-betweens I never understood. Would you look at me? I'm crazy, but I get the job done. Yeah, I'm crazy, but I get the job done. The chorus is, go ahead, you can laugh all you want. I got my philosophy and I trust it like the ground. That's why my philosophy keeps me walking when I'm falling down.
Okay.
Pretty self-explanatory. He has said, I believe jokingly in interviews, that it's about his penis, but I don't believe that.
Well, I mean, yeah, it seems unlikely, even though what do I know? Why wouldn't you dedicate your philosophy about your penis?
Well, there is a lyric about a hard hat. That's probably the one that people are.
That's the closest he's come to talking about condoms. And so we're back to KRS-One and Jimmy Hat. Anyway, the So right now, what I've got, would you say that these three, would you put Brick on that? And would you put Evaporated on it?
Wow. I probably would not.
Okay.
Even though Brick is his hardest charting song, because what's interesting is, so Ben Folds Five breaks up in 99. They released, after Whatever Never Amen, they released one final, at the time, final album called The Unauthorized Biography of Reinhold Messner. And this record is just so weird and so wonderful. I would actually recommend the lead single off of this, which is a song called Army. It gets, at least the piano gets really close to like Billy Joel territory. But the song is, I mean, the opening lyric says it all. Like, well, I thought about the army. Dad said, son, you're fucking high. and it's catchy as hell. It's so fun. Of the slower songs, gosh, maybe Evaporated. I'd have to think, but there's some really, really, really great ballads that come later after they break up. And they had been working on a fourth record. And after SNL, I think he just said, this is not for me. And he bought a one-way ticket to Australia, which, you know, he's also been married five times now.
Okay.
He met wife number, he can write a great breakup song. I don't know if I'd want his life.
Right. Yeah.
And ultimately, like, the band was coming to an end. And then he puts out this solo record called Rock in the Suburbs. Which for my money is the best thing he's ever done. Unfortunately, and I'm more of an album guy. Like I would say like those first three Ben Folds Five records and Rock in the Suburbs, very, very few skips. Mostly it's just like, for me, great song after great song after great song. The unfortunate thing about Rock in the Suburbs was it came out on September 11th, 2001. I had tickets to see him in DC that night.
Wow.
That show obviously, was postponed.
Yes. That show would be postponed. Did you see the Weezer cover that came out that same month and it had the Twin Towers or it had two towers on it?
Are you thinking Wilco?
Yep, I'm thinking Wilco. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Thanks for playing.
Yeah, Yankee Hotel Foxtrot.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, that was – and there was also a They Might Be Giants album that came out that day too that also got buried.
Wow.
And I think there was a Jay-Z – the one people remember the most is there was a Jay-Z album as well. But Rockin' the Suburbs is – it's just so it's a lot of character sketches. Like, I mean, the songs are Annie Waits, Zach and Sarah, Fred Jones Part Two, Losing Lisa, Carrie and Kathy. The two I would recommend and they're all great. His most beloved song is on there, a song called The Luckiest. I do not like this song. I find it a little too schmaltzy. It's a love song. Like I've had friends who have had it played at their weddings, which I think is you know, cool, but it's to me, like, I like it when the emotion is a little more understated. The two song, and I'll give you two from this record. One is a song called Fred Jones Part Two, which I believe Ben has said in interviews is the best song he's ever written. And it's just a very, very, and again, I'm not a musician. So if I get this wrong, please don't come at me. music dorks, but I believe he said it's a waltz, very, very simple waltz, about a guy who worked at a newspaper for 25 years. And then he's just being shown the door. That's it. It's part two, because on Rock in the Suburbs, there's it's the closest thing the album has to a throwaway track called Cigarette that is and has been now retconned to be Fred Jones Part One. I guess, you know, talking about the Ben Folds cinematic universe, but also speaking of that, John McRae of Cake does the backing vocals on Fred Jones Part Two, and it's beautiful.
I love Cake. Like, these are all they might be Giants and Cake. Yep. And Ben, they're all sort of from the mid 90s to the early 2000s, right?
Well, they might be Giants go back to the early 80s. Certainly a lot of these
Cake might be older too.
Cake goes back, their first record came out in, I want to say, the mid to early to mid 90s. I don't remember when. The one before the distance. I'm blanking on it, but I have that one too. So John McRae does the backing vocals, and it's just like a really, really pretty sad song. Like, so that's one of the slower ones I'd recommend.
Okay.
And then the other one, and God, they're all so good. It's hard. The other one I would pick, and I guess this will take me to three, is a song called Not the Same. And that's it's a true story about a guy at a party who takes a trip on acid, climbs up in a tree, and then when he comes down, he's a born again Christian. It's an awesome song. and in concerts, like, he'll often use that to like close the main set, and then there's like audience participation. I prefer the piano outro on the track, but it's so catchy. It's so fun. I may even go for it. So there's also a B-side, and the B-sides on this record are like, there's five of them. Three of them, or two and a half of them, are pretty stupid. One of them was a like kind of just like a straight up show tune that was cut from the fourth Ben Folds Five record. It's pretty silly. It's very dirty. But the one that I really like is called Hero Song, H-I-R-O. This is one of my favorites too. I was listening to it last night. It's probably the closest Ben Folds gets to like danceable.
I was going to ask you about that. Is anybody playing any of this at the club? Probably not.
No, certainly not. But I was in about 20 years ago, I was in Japan just traveling with some friends, and I had known that like Japanese B-sides were a thing. And I spent a lot of money.
What is that? Japanese
B-sides. It's like, so, and I don't think they still do this, but back with like CDs, they would put out like extra tracks for the Japanese version. Usually bonus tracks. And I mean, this was all kind of anecdotal because it was just what I observed, but the three artists that, you know, just traveling, you know, 2.5 weeks in Japan that I saw and heard everywhere were Weezer, Green Day, and which were also big in the US, but also Ben Folds, which has never been that big. And I spent a lot of money. I mean, I was in some karaoke bar in like a very rural prefecture, and they had like five or six deep cut Ben Folds songs. And I was like, this is the greatest night of my life. but the Japanese B-side on Rock in the Suburbs is a song called Hero Song, which unlike other Japanese editions of records I have, it doesn't come on the end. It's actually put in the middle of the album as if it were part of the experience. And it's this really kind of raucous song about this 51-year-old Japanese businessman who has a midlife crisis, starts dating his daughter's best friend, and then she leaves him for Jesus's drum programmer. It's a very silly, fun song. And that's one of my favorites. So I guess that I'm already halfway through. But yeah, Rockin' the Suburbs is great.
That's the album. I have to say that I did look up Ben Folds Wives, and this guy cannot stay married more than 5 or 6 years. There's 87 to 92, 96 to 97, 99 to 2007. That's the long one, but that's because they had twins.
They had kids, yeah.
Yeah, 2007 to 2011, and he just got divorced in 24, 2017 to 2024. They do look age appropriate. So it does look like, you know, the rule is half your age plus seven. So right. At this point, they all look like they're at least in their 30s. So that's the good news. Ben Folds doesn't seem to be, I'm sure his wives would be like, well, he's kind of gross, but he doesn't seem that bad. He seems fine.
I think the third one, and I don't know this as a fact because I've never gone on my way to listen because I just don't care. I think she released an album where there's like a diss track about him.
There's one that has a picture of a woman with a guitar. So he clearly married some sort of musician at one point. And, you have a squeaky water bottle.
Oh, I do. but it's one of these things where I love his music. I would not recommend dating this guy.
Right. There's people that you can't listen to afterwards where you're like, oh, the lyrics reveal exactly who you are. And in this case, the lyrics seem to reveal that this guy feels a lot of emotions, but that's it.
Yeah.
It's not that he's busy manipulating people. He's busy thinking about his innards.
What's super interesting, and going back and listening to a lot of the earlier stuff before this Dork Forest, is by 2026 standards, there are some of his songs where I would say, you know, we could probably comfortably call the lyrics a little misogynistic, the earlier stuff. Now, whether or not that's, you know, how he actually felt, or my guess is he's writing characters. Like, I went back last night.
Or if he acted this, on it, yeah.
Yeah. He did this weird side project in between the second and third Ben Folds 5 albums that most people don't know about. It's called Fear of Pop. It's like experimental. It's not great, but the single, which was, I actually watched the performance on Conan. He wrote the music, and William Shatner does the lyrical performance. And it's basically like from the perspective of like a guy getting his heart broken. And were it not for Shatner's over the top performance, like, it's like, wow, this is kind of gross, but it's also like, I get the character. So it's like, it's one of these things like
Shatner,
Shatner's
a little gross. And the way, I mean, there's a difference. I will say this is that there's a difference in the way that society has changed and what was acceptable and realizing that you were being a dick or whatever.
Right.
And writing a song in the 70s where you're like, she was, you know, 14, really hot, which are a lot of lyrics from the 60s and 70s.
Right. Where you're
like, hey, Creep Factor 11, get away from the 14-year-old.
A couple thoughts. What's cool about so that single that, you know, I guess was played on Conan once that, you know, most people have completely forgotten. Ben Folds then went on to produce Shatner's 2000 and I believe it was 2006 album. Might have been 2004. It's a little hazy. Called Has Been. It's just awesome.
I own that album.
that's part of the Ben Folds cinematic universe.
Okay.
Like he produced it. He wrote all the music. I think he sings backup on at least one of the songs. And it's great. But then to the
it
to
is
the point,
actually
like,
great, which is weird because it's yeah, a it's like yeah, a novelty album, and he's like, I there was one line where he's like, Andy and I quote each other. It was like maybe not the leopard print or something like that. It's there's yeah, like a it's a
you, I want, I'll yeah yeah you I and, want you for you yeah
yeah I want you for you kind of thing. It's just like you, yeah, you can dance on tables and wear the leopard print. He's like maybe not the leopard print.
Yeah, I actually think they may have just at least I know Shatner recently put out a new album. I haven't listened to it yet. I don't remember if Ben Folds is involved in that one. I'm also like, to me, Has Been is so great, but to your point, like it is kind of a novelty. Like, I don't know if I need another one.
Right. And honestly, Ben Folds sounds like the biggest dork in the world. God love the guy, you know? It's mm-hmm, just like,
yes,
you know, there's, it's the, They Might Be Giants kind of, you know, you're like, oh, okay. Weird Al,
yeah,
like really yes, talented people who have decided to just embrace it. Yeah.
Well, I would put Weird Al in the Ben Folds Cinematic Universe too.
Yeah.
He directed a music video for Ben Folds. He does backing vocals on a song that's kind of misusing Weird Al's talents. And then Ben Folds. So you know how like Weird Al does his parodies, and then he'll do like songs in the style of different artists. So
yes,
he did the song "Why Does This Always Happen to Me" on Poodle Hat, where it's a Ben Folds style song that Ben Folds is actually playing piano during. That's just delightful.
Oh, that's hilarious. Okay.
So yeah, I would put Weird Al in there. I would put Amanda Palmer. Ben Folds produced her album. Regina Spektor sings backup vocals on one of the songs on
okay,
the third Ben Folds solo album. Like there's a, like he's one of these artists that even if you're like, oh, I don't know any of his music, you've probably heard some of his music. I think you just froze. Did I just freeze or was there a
We both froze. It's fine, but guess what? It was still recording because that's what Riverside is like. So we your point was made. People will hear
cool,
it. So awesome. Who's is there has did he open for anybody famous? Like besides the count did he open for the Counting Crows?
Not that I'm aware of. I mean he may have. The only person, so I'm a weirdo when it comes to music in that you know, people haven't figured that out yet.
Yes.
Yes. Artists I love, I try to avoid when they're the opening act because I know that I'm not going to get the full show. I'm
yep,
just going to get, you know, the songs, you know, I've seen this guy have 24 times at this point. Like I'm going to see, it's not going to be, I did
greatest
see
hits,
him open for Elvis Costello at the Hollywood Bowl. With,
okay,
I believe he played that one with the, maybe the LA Phil. I don't remember there because he also wrote a concerto for piano. Like he dabbles in classical music, which I think eventually gets him the gig at the Kennedy Center. I am, you know, I can talk moderately intelligently about rock music and pop music. But when it comes to classical music, I'm like, that sounds pretty cool to me.
right. A violin was involved, you guys. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yes.
But cool, yeah, I definitely saw him open for Elvis Costello. I'm sure he's open for bigger artists. That's all that I have off the top of my head, because when I see
right,
him perform, I'm watching other artists open for him. And usually I'm going to the bar, but you know, there have been some pleasant surprises. I saw Butch Walker open for him. He was pretty great. Ben yeah, Lee, who's also really good. I'm sure there are others that I'm going to remember, but you know, Lindsay Kraft, who I also mentioned,
yeah,
she was a delightful surprise.
So what we got here is, Fred Jones part two,
mm-hmm,
maybe Philosophy, Cigarette.
Oh, 100%.
No,
not Cigarette. I would go Fred Jones to, so I would start with Philosophy. I would go from there to Not the Same, which is his solo stuff. Then I would go Fred Jones 2, then Heroes Song. And then I'm going to – this is super cool. A song called Free Coffee. That's the one I'm going to recommend for my number 5. And this one is on his third solo album. And you got to be careful because this is actually awesome. So right before the album came out, the album leaked. But the version of the album that leaked, what wound up happening was he went into, like, after the album was done, and the third record's called Way to Normal. You know, a lot of people didn't like it. I don't think it's his best work, but I think it's like even Ben, like, it's still very good. And that's kind of how I feel about all of his work after Rockin' the Suburbs. Like, nothing hits that high. The fourth Ben Folds Five album called The Sound of the Life of the Mind is quite good. He also did a collaborative album with Nick Hornby that I think is probably his best post-Rockin' the Suburbs called Lonely Avenue. That's really, really good.
Okay.
But for this third solo record, Way to Normal, it was done and it leaks and everybody's like, what? This is terrible. What is this? And apparently what he did, and this isn't apparently because, you know, he did interviews, after the album was done, he spent like a couple days in his home studio and made fake versions of these songs with the same titles, but with, like, you know, tossed off kind of bullshit lyrics that were totally different. So there's two versions of Free Coffee. He's since retitled them. There's Free Coffee and then Free Coffee Town, which is the fake one. Like, the fake songs are just ridiculous, but it was just a really clever way to, I guess, drum up some publicity. For, I think this may have been his highest charting album. This is the one that's got the Regina Spektor single. But what's cool about Free Coffee is he's doing something. And again, the music dorks, please don't come for me. I believe it's called Prepared Piano, where he's like messing with the innards of the piano. And in this case, he's taking empty Altoid tins and putting them between the strings. So when he hits the key, it's got this really kind of, it almost sounds like a Game Boy. Like, it's got this weird kind of static electronic effect. And there's no like synth involved. And I forget who it was. There was some like famous hip hop producer who was like, we spent thousands of dollars in the studio trying to get the sound. You did it with an Altoids tin. I don't think it's anywhere near his best song. It's just about how, like, oh, you know, I couldn't afford coffee. And now that I'm famous, they give me free coffee. But, like, I think the Prepared Piano is just, it's just awesome. It just sounds so cool.
That's neat. So that's the fifth song.
That's the fifth song.
Yeah.
I would probably go. I said Army. Oh, Army. No,
yeah.
Wait, Army, what do we got? We got Philosophy, Army.
No, you got
Army. That's six.
Not the Same, Fred Jones, Hero, and then Free Coffee. So Army?
Yeah. Army. I would do Army.
Number six? Yeah.
Yeah. And I said Hiroshima. Hiroshima. Hero Song.
Mm-hmm. That was number four.
Number four. I feel like one of the Nick Hornby songs. Landed. I got to give you Landed off of Songs for Silverman, which is nobody knew it at the time, but this is I'm going through a divorce album. This was divorce number three. So it's a very, very stoic record. I think the piano solo on You to Thank, which is about getting married too young, is maybe my favorite piano solo. There's a song Late on that album, which is about Elliot Smith. Not that they were friends, just that they sort of knew each other and he really liked his music and now he can't tell him because, you know, he passed. But the single, Landed it was basically like the studio was like, there's no single on here. And they go back and forth. And finally he's like, do you just want me to write a Tiny Dancer? And they're like, yes, that's what this album needs. So Landed isn't Tiny Dancer, but it's of that DNA. So I would definitely throw Landed on there.
All right.
I would also.
How do you
feel
close
like one
out
of the
this
Nick,
track?
I feel like one of the Nick Hornby songs, but that's more of like Hornby wrote all the lyrics. I really like a song called Doc Pomus, I don't know how to pronounce that, who was a songwriter who wrote for Elvis. Like, that's a cool song. There's another great song on there called Levi Johnson's Blues, who was Sarah Palin's son-in-law, or like, was like, I don't know if you remember in the 2000 election, Sarah Palin announced that like her daughter was pregnant, and then it was like, oh, we're getting married. So what Nick Hornby and Ben Folds did is they go on this guy's MySpace page, and the chorus comes right from his MySpace. Like, I'm a fucking redneck. I love to hang out, play some hockey, shoot some shit, and kill some moose. I'm getting them a little wrong, but that's basically what it is. And they create this like kind of sympathetic portrait for like this kid who just did not want the spotlight, anything. He just wants to like drink some beers with his bros. And it's pretty funny, but like sad funny. And I think that's where like, and even though Hornby wrote those lyrics, I think that's where like the best Ben Folds songs are, is they're funny, but they're also kind of sad, which is also, They Might Be Giants, and it's a little bit Cake. It's like all of these, like Weezer, like all of these kind of like, you know, somebody in the band's wearing glasses kind of bands.
Yes. And, but that I do think about, 98% of the population of the world, I think, just wants to do what his MySpace bio was, which is everyone just wants to share a bass boat with their neighbor and maybe go do karaoke or, you know, and then once a year go to Vegas and spend too much money. I mean, it's a very simple life where we're selling each other this, that, you know, this bill of goods that everyone wants to be a billionaire, but you're like, in real life, we just want to be moderately successful enough to maybe one day own a cabin, I think was the big thing when I was a kid. Everyone was like, we're saving up for a cabin. And you're like, okay, that's not my dream, but I support it.
Right. So it's the Hornby album, I think, works well as an album. If I have to recommend one song, I mean, the single's fine, but I really like Doc Pomus. How many am I at now? Is that six or seven?
That's seven. Landed is seven. But I say go to ten, but only send me eight.
Okay. All right. I'll do three more.
You got 10 more minutes to tell me. Yeah.
Jackie, this is a delight for me.
Exactly. That's what it's supposed to be.
Yeah, this is a delight.
Unplanned pregnancy? Learn how people are getting abortion pills by mail for a safe abortion at home, no matter what state they live in, at plancypills.org. That's plancypills.org.
I really like the Ben Folds Five reunion album called The Sound of the Life of the Mind. Actually, that one, most of my collection I have in Maryland, but I at my parents' house. But this one I have here, I just love this album art too. It's delightful. I don't know if you can see that. It's like a robot underwater looking like sad.
The Thinker?
Is it the Thinker. Yeah, it is.
But it's a robot.
The albums as a whole, it's just kind of okay. Like, there's a clever song about like the guy who was Frank Sinatra's assistant and like everything he saw, but you know, never, it was not his life he was leading. It was Frank Sinatra's life. Like, that's a pretty good song. There's the lead off track, like Erase Me, sounds like a Regina Spektor song, which is kind of fun. I'll put as my number eight, there's a song on here called Hold That Thought, which is probably the best song after Rockin' the Suburbs, other than maybe Landed, that he's done. That's just like a really, really just pretty mid-tempo song.
Okay.
Those are my official eight. If I get two more, I'll go to other than the Christmas album, his more recent album, I'll show this one as well, What Matters Most. This is the COVID album. COVID, I think he was holed up in Australia, and just once a week would do these free, like sort of, web concerts slash, like there was like a little bit of teaching, like he would do some piano education, like beginners, and he would play like requests and, you know, like songs that I never thought I'd hear him play, which was like delightful. The album itself, certainly way, way, way more mature, than, you know, the early kind of more raucous punk rock stuff. But there's a few great songs on there. Like there's one exhausting lover that tries to get back to that. And he even said, like, this will be a 3-star album instead of a 4-star album, but I really want this song on there. That one's kind of fun. There's a song called Christine from the 7th grade about a woman just going down a like QAnon Facebook rabbit hole. There's a song called Back to Anonymous about the, what was it? The essential workers. That's very pretty. I really like the single on this. It's not his greatest, but I think it kind of sums up what he does. It's called Winslow Gardens. And I think it's just about, you know, an apartment building during lockdown is my read of it. I could be wrong. And it's just kind of like a nice, like slightly upbeat song, just about the people who live in this apartment building. Again, is my read on it. And it's good. It's good. Like none of these are, you know, oh my God, his best work. But I think it's, you know, when you're looking at an artist, like I could easily say, just listen to the first album. It's awesome. But I want to give you like a variety of what he does.
Rock in the Suburbs wasn't on your list.
No, it's not. That was that's a fun song, but that's but like he writes a lot of songs like, I don't want to say as like middle fingers, but it's like kind of like, do you just want me to write Tiny Dancer? And by the way, he also covers everything. He's covered Tiny Dancer. That was the song we played at my wedding. It was delightful. The Ben Folds cover. Which I actually prefer to the original, but mostly because like I love the original, but like Elton, like he throws like all these strings and it's this huge arrangement. Whereas the Ben Folds version,
Tiny Dancer is an Elton John song. Okay. Mm-hmm. Just catching up.
The Ben Folds. Okay. Sure. The Ben Folds version is, it's just him and a piano. And mm-hmm. I find it so much more effective. And also Ben's voice is a little, I guess, more raw and plain spoken than Elton's. He's covered, like released covers, not just in concert, like The Cure, The Postal Service, The Darkness, Ray Charles, like not released. Like he did, during his COVID sessions, he played like, you know, his song and then transitioned to the song that was the big influence. So when he did Philosophy mm-hmm. during the bridge, he went into scenes from an Italian restaurant, which was, I mean, listen, I'm very basic when it comes to Billy Joel. That's my favorite Billy Joel song.
I love Billy Joel with The Power of the Sun in 1980. And sure. I own all of his albums until the Russian album when he lost his mind. So, but all of that, early, I mean, they're piano solos and he's got a saxophone. And I'm like, mm-hmm. I think the first three albums until he does. Those are my favorite albums. Like when he did the doo-wop album, I was like, no, I get it. Uptown Girl and all that stuff. But the earlier stuff I liked better. I just like the sort of more transitional, like Italian Restaurant is on, I forgot what album it's on.
That's on, is it The Stranger? Maybe? Maybe not.
I think it is on The Stranger, but the two albums before that are my favorite albums mm-hmm. of his. Which is weird. Because I've only seen him once and it was like the worst album tour. And I saw it in Chicago and we went and one of my cousins was a roadie of his, but I never. And I didn't plan it right. I could have maybe gone backstage, but mm-hmm. it's so sad that I don't care anymore because it's probably an attainable goal.
Right. But I mean, he's got such a great back catalog. I mean, I have, you know, not all of his records, but I got good number of Billy Joel albums, good number of Elton John albums. I'd also want to highlight kind of the piano musicians that came up after Ben Folds, some of whom have explicitly said they were influenced by him. So, you know, just keeping it going. In the aughts, there was like an emo piano rock group called Something Corporate that were quite fun. They became, or he, the lead singer is Andrew McMahon, became Jack's Mannequin, which is way more piano driven. And then he's been going back and forth between those two bands and his solo stuff. I also really liked Lesser Known. There was another piano emo outfit that went crazy Broadway on their second and sadly final album called Stray Light Run. That was pretty great. And then the teens, what do we call that decade between the aughts and the 20s? I don't know.
The teens, I guess.
The teens. There's this other band that lean in a little more pop called Jukebox the Ghost that are super, super fun.
That's so all interesting. Of these, if piano rock, I mean, there's just Billy Joel and Elton John in my head, but there's clearly obviously more, right?
It's like, and as soon as we hang up, I'm going to think of like six other artists.
Right. I'm going to go watch that Conan, the Fear of Pop Conan.
Yeah.
And
it's a trip, Jackie. It's a trip.
It's, by the way, we are talking with Josh Isaric. And
Isaric.
And you're like, whatever happens, Jackie, just do whatever you need to do about my name. And but it's there's a joshisaric.com. He's got several graphic novels out already, and the first of the Pale of Settlement is out on Webtoons. Look forward to that board game, Pale of Settlement, huh? And and the I love the idea that this was the Ben Folds cinematic universe.
Well, I mean,
has he ever done any acting? I don't know.
He has. He was, I think he's mostly played himself. I think he was in Billions. And
okay.
I think he was he might have been in Community. And then certainly he was a judge on The Sing-Off, which, I mean, he had this whole, and I have this one here as well. He had this whole like fascination with a cappella music. So when they were like, you got to put out your greatest hits album, he just got a bunch of college a cappella groups to sing his songs, which was kind of fun. Later he did an actual greatest hits album, which I also have.
Send me that a cappella thing, because that is Andy's birthday gift this year. Okay.
Okay.
Andy loves a cappella with the power of the sun. He loved that show. Yeah.
Yeah.
He might like that.
But I mean, especially if you like Ben Folds' music. If you don't, you're going to be like, well, why aren't they singing songs I like? But I like Ben Folds' music quite a bit, as you can tell.
Yes.
Yeah. I would also say one more pro tip. If folks are listening and they're like, wow, this sounds great, and you're inclined to see Ben perform in concert, I've had friends who were like, I don't get it until I've dragged them to see him live. If you are a crazy person like me and get there super early, the place you want to stand is just to the left of the piano. So you can see Ben in profile and you see his fingers on the keys. We can fight about it. I think he's a better, he doesn't have some of the qualities of Billy Joel and Elton John, but I think he's a better piano player than both. I think some of his solos are just astounding what he can do.
That is the greatest Dork Forest recommendation. You're going to want to see his keys on the keyboard, you guys. Josh,
yes, you do.
Thank you so much for doing the Dork Forest. It's been an hour. And
God, this was so fun.
That's awesome. Thanks for doing the show. And Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh, my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?